Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life will be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Well, amen, amen. What a song, Amber. Man, I just was thinking that maybe when I get to heaven, the Lord will help me and Tim sing like that. I don't know. I don't know that he changes our gifts, but man, wow. Wow, what a great day. It's so good to see you today in this Christmas season. Thanksgiving weekend, all sort of wrapped together here. And you've come today to give God first place of this week ahead of you. And I honor you today and thank you for that. Those of you watching online, we're so glad that you've joined us today also. Hey, we're going to start a brand new series today called The Gifts of Christmas. And today I want to talk about the gift that we've forgotten. And so if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, I'll be there, and then also to Titus chapter 2, we'll be looking at both of those places this morning. Father, we love you today. Wow, we just sense your presence, Lord, and we just say to you be glory and honor today. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here today and those that are watching online. Thank you, God, that you give us the opportunity of coming together as a family. Lord, we will not get so tied up in Christmas that we neglect you. We'll think about others that we can invite and bring, especially during this time when people are open to one more invitation. Lord, we come to this teaching today in this new series as we're setting up for that. And I ask you, Lord, to help me to say what you want me to say. Don't let me say anything I shouldn't say. At the end of today, I pray that you would be glorified, magnified, lifted up, and your church would be glorified. And Lord, that they would be encouraged and given some strength for today. And Lord, that the enemy will be terrified in the name of Jesus. Well, it's Christmas, and you know I love gifts, right? So they said, since it's a new Christmas series and we're starting, and next week, of course, is December, that I get to open up the first gift. And so I'm really kind of looking forward to this. I'm not sure what they've wrapped up, but they know I like anything that's nice. This is a nice looking box, isn't it? Not gaudy and not too flashy, but just kind of looks like, you know, it might cure cancer if you need it. I mean, it just looks that good. So, and when I open up gifts, I don't spend a lot of time. I just go right to stuff, get it open, because that's how I think gifts should be done. I don't try to save boxes. I don't say, wow, this is a pretty hefty little box here. Let me see. Oh, where does it open? Oh, opens over here. All right. Whew, see what they gave me. I think you gave me the wrong box, Sean. I mean, didn't you feel just a little stab of silent disappointment for me? I mean, we've all felt that, you know. I mean, even in the world we're living in today, that's exactly a picture of how some of you feel. You walk into the stores and songs blaring joy to the world, but all you can think about is some whisperings that's in the back of your mind of phrases like this. I'm just trying to survive this month. Can we please just get it over with? I'm already tired. It's not even December yet. Everyone else has some place to go this year, but I don't. It would honestly be easier if we just skipped the gift giving altogether. Yeah, this is the Christmas without them. Between services, someone came up to Tim and said, my wife's been gone 2 years. But during this Christmas time, I still, it's hard. Lady came up to me and said, my husband died a year and a half ago. And my son died 4 months ago. It's a tough Christmas. It feels empty. Maybe today you're saying, you know what? I know the story. I know the Christmas story in and out, but right now, The truth of that story seems so far apart from me. Yep, and somebody said this week, I'm just going through the motions. See, on the outside, Christmas can look like it's all packed up, nice, wrapped up in lights, great Christmas carols, wonderful commercials, sky-high expectations. But for a lot of people, their Christmas is just like this. Empty, sad, awkward. Now, I know we've all opened up beautiful things before, haven't we? Only to find out that they needed 27 batteries. They needed two apps to start it, or a PhD in electronics to just turn it on, or that year that everything looked perfect on Instagram from somebody else, but you said, that's just not me. And there's that hollow feeling. But listen, you're not alone. But here's what I want you to know today. Here's the good news. Say good news. Christmas didn't start with an empty box. Didn't start with an empty box. It was God who saw the emptiness in our life, and he refused to leave us that way, and he sent us a gift from heaven that could fill every empty spot in our life. Would you give him a praise this morning? Amen. When heaven sent us a gift of Christmas, it wasn't empty. Oh, I know there was a feeding trough, a teenage mother, there was a baby. But that baby already was reaching out nail-scarred hands before he ever had them. And he's looking at you and me and he was saying, I saw you. I crossed the universe just for you. I am the enough that you've been looking forward to. So today and for the next 4 weeks, we're going to go back to Bethlehem in the Bible. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. And I'm not going to read the story today of Joseph or Mary or the shepherds, but I want to focus in on the Magi, the wise men. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, wise men. Those wise men, we also call them magi. So often it comes from the Greek word magos, which it's interesting when you think about the wise men. Now, most of our nativity scenes have what? Three wise men. But we don't know how many wise men there were. There could have been three. There could have been more than that. There could have been 100. We don't really know. But those wise men, I think sometimes we don't understand. They were priests and they were astronomers. And they were very, 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 very wealthy. In fact, if I could rewind about 200 or 300 years prior to this, maybe even more, Daniel was the chief magi. Daniel was one of the chief magi. He was those. And so when Daniel, in his many prophecies and talking about the coming of the Messiah, these magi that we see here in Matthew must have remembered, as it was passed down through tradition, that there will come a Messiah, there will come a King of Kings, there will become one, and there will be a star that will rise up and that we will see that. And so now they have had all of that training in their mind for all of these years. These Magi were also called King Makers. They were from Babylon, in the area of Persia, Iran today, and no one became a king in the Babylonian Empire unless the Magi made you a king. Isn't it interesting in this story? You have the lowly shepherds, no money, outcast, and here you have the Magi, wise, wealthy, influential kingmakers, both being able to find a place with Jesus, whether he's just a small baby in that trough, or as they're coming today, he's almost 2 years old. He's in a house. And so the Magi come from the eastern lands, and they arrive in Jerusalem saying, where is this newborn king? The word there is basileia, which means king of the highest order. In other words, in the Greek, that king is capitalized. It's like the King of Kings, the one we've all been waiting for. Now, you got to realize also, every one of these magi had a whole entourage of people that traveled with them. They weren't traveling on camels. If you're thinking, oh, they traversed a long way on a camel. No, they were riding Persian steeds of the most influential, the most beautiful thoroughbreds that you could ever have. And they were traveling. Each of them had over 100 different people on their in their entourage. So when they came into Bethlehem, it wasn't just three guys sneaking in, but it was this huge entourage of maybe thousands that were coming and journeyed with them. They've been journeyed for almost 2 years. Jesus is now 2 years old. They saw a star. They started following that star. And now it's 2 years later of following that star, and they come to Bethlehem. So they come looking for the king and said, where is he? Because we've come to worship him. We've come to bow down to adore him. King Herod was deeply disturbed because he's the king, right? He wants to keep the king, be the king. And everybody in Jerusalem was disturbed too. Why? Because if Herod gets disturbed, you're going to get disturbed, right? I mean, he's quite a character. And he called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of religion and said, where is this Messiah supposed to be born? Now, immediately, they didn't have to go searching. They knew the answer. Well, in Bethlehem, Judea, they said, for that is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for all the people of Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men. And he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. Liar, liar, right? After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house. They saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down, and these kingmakers bowed down, worship him. Then they opened their treasure chest, gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it was time to leave. They returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Think about this. For 2 years, no GPS, no Google Maps, not even a compass app. All they were moving by was a star that was an unusual star. They'd never seen this star before, and they started searching in the scripture. They started searching in Daniel's prophecy. Oh, this could be that star. And moved by God, they began moving and traversing for 2 years to come to see where the baby was, a long journey. And they didn't get disturbed by shiny distractions. I mean, but they were focused on the star. Meanwhile, you and I, we're in Target. 45 minutes we've been in the Christmas aisle, holding a gold-plated spatula, thinking this is going to fix everybody's lives. Spoiler alert, it won't. That box of shiny stuff, empty every single time. But this Christmas, say this Christmas. This Christmas, we're done doing more to feel less empty. We're done doing more to feel less empty. And I'm talking to some of you already that the Holy Spirit has already been speaking to your heart about this Christmas season. And you said, you know what? We're going to do something different this year. We're going to get back to the real meaning of this. We're not going to get caught up in everything and all the flashy and all the beautiful boxes that when we unwrap them, they just are empty and silent. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to study the gifts that the Magi brought to this baby Jesus. And you're going to find they're tremendous gifts. Now, Paul discovered this, would say to what the Magi were saying here, one great sentence in Titus 2 and 1. In fact, would you read it with me? Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read it together. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Let's read it again. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Think about that. Grace came. What's grace? Grace is that unfavored forgiveness of God, God's righteousness, that he came and he died on the cross for our sins. Grace came full, sufficient, and unshakable, not as an empty box. So grace is saying, I am enough. God is saying today, I am enough. Say that with me. I am enough. God is enough. You don't need to chase more. Stop opening boxes that never satisfy. I mean, we try it with achievement. If I can just achieve more, if I can just accumulate more, if I can just get more. Friends, that little baby in the manger is the real gift of Christmas. The Magi didn't come with just random luxury gifts. They came with gifts that were prophetic declarations of whom this king was. They brought him gold. Gold is a gift for a king. Gold is for the Messiah. And we're going to look at that next week. Pastor Kevin actually is going to talk about that next week. So gold gave them the money to go ahead and make the trip down to Egypt to take care of everything. And then frankincense. They brought frankincense. Frankincense was used by the priest to worship God. So they brought worship unto him. And then they brought something really interesting for a little baby, myrrh. Myrrh was a spice used for embalming dead bodies. Here to this little baby, they bring myrrh. Why? Because it was already showing the shadow of the cross over his life. For this reason he came. He didn't come just to have a vacation, but he came. He left the splendor of heaven because you and I needed something other than an empty life. And the only way he could do that is to come and to give his life. And so they opened up their gifts and they laid them out and they said, basically, everything that we have is yours. Everything we have is yours. So I'm begging you today to hear one point today in today's teaching. Say one point. Look at your neighbor and say, he's got one point today. It's going to be easy, all right? Here it is. The one point today, follow the light, stop chasing shadows. Follow the light, stop chasing shadows. The Magi didn't stop for glittering tents. They didn't stop to see the latest camel sales. They didn't look for mirages in the middle of the desert. They didn't look for five-star spas. They didn't get distracted by shiny things. They followed the light. They followed the real gift. But what about us? Isn't it so easy we get caught up in chasing the shiny stuff? Let me just point out some of the things that the enemy uses as glittering, shining stuff to distract us in this Christmas season, and it ends up being an empty box. Here's one. Shopping obsession. Say shopping obsession. I saw some of you looking out of the corner of your eye at your spouse, okay? Shopping obsession. I mean, you're hunting for that perfect gift, like it's going to fix somebody's heart. Time out, focus. This year, let's do it like this. This year, pause before you go shopping. Pray and reflect and ask this question. Am I chasing the light or am I just chasing the glitter? Here's another one. Overcommitment/busyness. Some of you, your calendar is bleeding red. You haven't had five quiet moments with Jesus for weeks, and it's not even December yet. Refocus. Schedule margin. Time to be with Jesus. Why do we get so caught up in doing all the things, but yet we don't take time to just sit with him and be with him? Here's another one. Debt stress. You're charging things you can't afford to create a moment that won't last past December 26. Jesus wasn't wrapped in a payment plan. Set your budget. Lock into it. Trust that love isn't measured in dollars. Love isn't measured in dollars. Here's another one. Perfectionism. I know the tree isn't symmetrical, okay? And I know the cookies you baked aren't Instagram worthy. And you're only one burnt pie away from a total meltdown, right? because it's just got to, it's got to be perfect. Everything's got to be perfect. No, that ribbon is not right. The package is not right. No, it's all that. And you get so caught up in that. Maybe we need to trade perfect for presence. Not P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, but his presence. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen to me. The people you love need you. The people you love need you. You need to be present. They need you. Or here's another one, people pleasing. You're killing yourself to try to impress relatives who's going to critique you anyway. I can't believe they had the house decorated that way. I can't believe they fixed that food. I can't believe they did that. Can't believe they did something else. And you spend all of your time trying to please people. Listen, there's only one opinion that's going to matter a trillion years from now, and that's for an audience of one. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. He's the only opinion that's going to matter. And you're so wrapped up in that. Well, I've got to, you know, it's got to be just the right lights. Like, you've seen that commercial when one house, I mean, he's got like a trillion lights on his house. Everything's light. There's music. And the guy next to him, he's got a little sign that says, ditto. I don't have to try to impress you. Just look at his house. And I'm just saying, ditto. Here's another one. Tradition without a heart. You're doing things because, well, that's the way we've always done it. That's why we've always done it. And so you're spending all your time trying to reproduce something that mom did, grandma did, great-grandma did. So you've heard the old story, like the mom was cooking Christmas dinner, and she had a big ham. She cut the ham in half before she ever proceeded. Her daughter said, "Why did you cut the ham in half?" She said, "I don't know. That's what grandma always did." So she goes and asks grandma, why did mom cut the ham in half like you did?" "I don't know why she cuts it in half. I only had a frying pan big enough for half a ham. So that's why I did it." But yet it's passed on down through the ages. I mean, think about how we as parents and grandparents, even with our kids, it's all about, better be good. Santa Claus is coming tonight. You're going to put cookies and milk out. You're going to do all of that. And all of the shiny stuff that's empty. It's empty. But how about sitting down and starting a new tradition? Hey, let's read the Bible story. Let's interject. Let's talk about what does it mean that somebody came from heaven and he brought something that our life doesn't have to be empty. Our family doesn't have to be empty. Our marriage doesn't have to be empty. It's not like an empty box if we receive this light that's come to us. Well, how about this one? Comparison and envy. You see what other people are doing and you feel like you're lacking. Look, count your blessings. Begin to thank God. And here's the big one. Neglecting spiritual reflection. You've decorated everything except your soul for Christmas. I mean, you even decorate the bathroom. What have you done to decorate your soul? This year is going to be different. We're going to change. We're going to refocus. We're going to open the Word. We're going to get down on our knees. Maybe we reread Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Look at it with me. Would you read it with me? For the grace of God, out loud, let's read it together. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope. Wait. Waiting what? What were the wise men waiting for? They were waiting for the first coming of the Messiah. They were waiting and waiting and waiting. Is this right? Is this one? But what about us? Here we are at Christmas, and we can think so much about the gift. We can think so much about the Christmas, the first coming of the gift, that we fail to realize that's not all. He's coming again. He's coming again. And it says that he's coming and he'll appear in the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, let's read it together. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Wow. We're looking during this Christmas season. Don't be lifting your eye and looking for Santa Claus coming in the sky. Lift your eye and say, look, as the world gets darker and darker and I'm hearing more of this and more of that and more of that, I'm going to lift up my eyes because my redemption is drawing nigh. I'm looking forward to the second coming of Jesus, that he'll put an end to this horrible world that we're living in and bring us hope in our lives. The light of grace is shining today. Don't chase shadows. More things, more approval, more achievement, only to find them empty. Grace says, follow me. I am your enough. I can fill the empty boxes that you keep opening. I wonder, how many empty boxes have you opened? So, well, if you don't get that car, if we get that condo, if we get this, if we get that, if I can get my kid that new, what's the craze now, that bubblehead Bamahoma kid, little doll? I don't even know the name of that doll, all right? It's just like ever had Pet Rocks. Was that like the stupidest Christmas thing you ever saw? A Pet Rock. Man, somebody had some money. Let's just, somebody come up with something like a branch.
There we go.
There we go. At least you can put something on that. Everybody needs a pet branch for Christmas, and I'll sell you one. How many empty boxes? You know, if I could just get that new belt, that new gun, that new set of clubs. Yeah, and the first time you go out, you didn't change your golf game any, and you're ready to throw it in the trash. Get the newest thing. Empty boxes, empty. Empty, empty, empty. The journey didn't end when the Magi found the house, but it ended when they fell on their faces. All the miles, all the danger, all the treasure was worth it for one moment of worship that ended in surrender, surrender. Grace isn't admired from a distance. Grace is received on your knees. Grace isn't admired from a distance, but it's received on your knees. I know we started with this box. Boys, that's beautiful paper. You guys did a great job. But it's empty. It's empty. Here's my prayer. We started with the beautiful box, and we discovered it was empty. But the truth is, many of you walked in today, and you're carrying boxes just like this. You put on your Jesus face when you parked the car. Parking team said, good morning, how you doing? Oh, we're doing wonderful. We argued and almost got divorced all the way to church, but we're doing wonderful. You worried all week long about where's the money going to come for this year's Christmas. Maybe you're one of those employees that were let go, and now you're facing Christmas without the finances. And we've been so wrapped up in the gifts that we failed to remember we could have nothing and still have plenty. Wrapped in smiles, tied in ribbons. But when you open them, they're empty. But here's the good news of Christmas. God never sent an empty box. He sent a Savior. I saw the emptiness in your life today. It's not an accident that you're here today. Because even this week, you've, without maybe saying it, without thinking it, you've thought, everything just feels so empty. I know there's lots of music and lots of that, but it just feels so empty. You see, you can even love Christmas like Pastor Tim and I. We love Christmas. We'd play Christmas music all year long if we could. That's just how we are. We just love that. But you see, even in that, we can get so caught up with that that we miss the light. We miss the light. And maybe you came today and you said, you know what, I've been a Christian for 20 years. I've been a Christian for all these years, and I know the story of Christmas. But you know what, Terry, you're right. I've gotten to the place that even Christmas is empty for me. Because of so many people pushing all the other things, I just think, it doesn't mean much anymore. Let's just get it over with. Can we move on to January, to the 21 days fast that we're going to do? God never sent an empty box. He sent a Savior. Grace wasn't wrapped up in a shiny bow, but grace was revealed with our Jesus suffering on a cross. Nails in his hands, spear in his side, lashes on his back for our healing. Grace comes today to tired people, to empty hearts. Right now, in response to the Holy Spirit speaking to you today, would you just lift your hands like this, just where you're sitting, just lift your hands. Just look in your hands. Empty, I guess, right? So I suppose your hands are just empty. Right now, would you just close your eyes and pray this prayer with me? Maybe you're a believer and you've been a believer for a long time. Just say, God, I'm not going to live empty. My heart feels hollow. I've been smiling through pain. But I don't want to live empty anymore. I'm not going to chase shiny distractions. I'm not going to pretend. Fill me, every empty place, with your grace, with your peace, with your presence. As you continue to just pray as a Christian, I also want to say to some of you that are here today and you say, Terry, I really feel empty because I've never invited Jesus into my heart and into my life. And you know what? He knew you'd be here today. So he wanted me to tell you that he specializes in bringing joy and peace and fulfillment into people's lives. He left heaven, came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And on the third day, he arose so that as many as call upon him could be saved. If you're here today and you say, Terry, I need Jesus. My life is empty. Or maybe years ago, you started serving him, but lately you just felt, I just feel empty. It's not there anymore, that grace. I don't sense it. Today, I want to pray with you. So if you're here today and you say, my life is empty, I need Jesus. I need his presence and his grace to fill my life. Would you raise your hands and make eye contact with me? I want to pray for you and with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you there in the back. Thank you. Just keep your hand up. Any others, just lift your hand over here. Yes. Yes. My friends are bringing a gift to you to help you on this journey. Others today, that lift your hand. Those of you watching online, just lift your hand today. You just type in a response there. I'm making a decision today. Others today, lift your hand. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Others today. Others today. Pray this prayer with me. Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for my sins. Today, I admit that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. My life is empty. I need it to be filled. And I lift my hand to you. No more fear. No more shame. I receive the greatest gift ever given. Church, would you celebrate with me today with those who prayed that prayer? Listen. As you go out today, don't go chasing empty boxes. carry the light with you. Carry the gift with you. Get an invite card. Invite friends to come with you this Christmas season. I promise you, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Well, if the Lord spoke to you today, why don't you give him a hand clap and give him a praise. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.